This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neej and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello to all our PNG listeners and welcome everyone to Neej and Footy, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name's Tinirau Aruna, and alongside me each week is the man himself, Sammy Wykes. Sammy,
Tinirau Aruna.
Great to be back, brother.
How good is it? How good is footy? It is alive and well. Both codes, full swing. We have a massive show to get through. Super Rugby with the Drua, not the same smiles this week as it was the week before. They went down, so we'll go through that. Moana had the bye, but we also had NRL round two. A few upsets. Big
Mate,
scores.
Huge upsets.
Huge. And
yes, you mentioned massive upsets, and we also have a massive guest. It is none other than the Samoan Stefano Toikomanu, who currently represents the Melbourne Storm. He also made his debut for the Eels and played the last couple of years at the West Tigers. At the age of 24, he's already played 79 games. And he is looking unbelievable.
He's looking fit,
very
the Melbourne
fit from
Magic
round one.
Is working on him down there because hopefully we'll definitely ask him about the tough preseason and May's jaw looking really good.
Even the amount of like media attention that he's copped over the last 12 months. Looking forward to our chat with Stefano Toikomanu.
Moment of the week.
Yes, moment of the week, but it's definitely not the Para Eels. Oh, mate. Oh, I'd hate to be a coach. Can I do that? No. I just feel sorry for
them. I feel sorry for the Parramatta Eels.
Sorry for them.
Fans.
Come on, boys. You'll be right.
It's only round two.
Round two. Plenty more rounds to go.
Plenty of time.
But let's get to our moment of the week. And the past couple of weeks have been seeing music combining with footy. You know, Moana Pacifica, they had the great man, George Vekoso, Fiji, F1J1, in their dressing sheds after the game. This week, it wasn't in the dressing sheds, but Panina Pacifica. Have a listen to this. So you know who this is, eh?
Yeah, man. It is when you're in the garage sitting with your mates.
It is the garage songs.
Cover session.
Yes.
Got the lollies in the middle.
That's the one.
And you've got Spawn Breezy
on that
track. Talk
to me, Spawn Breezy.
And the Panina Pacifica team played or singing.
Oh, they were just singing the song. After the game against the Western Force, they were in Western Force HQ having a feed with the Force team. And the girls just started playing it and then harmonising that song and collabed with the man himself, Spawn Breezy.
And he accepted it?
He accepted it.
On Instagram?
On Instagram. It's
on his
grid.
On his own page.
On his own page.
It says, "How cool is this? I love our people. We all got each other. 100 emoji. Keep killing it, ladies."
Emoji.
The 100 emoji.
Oh, 100 emoji, yeah. But that's what it's about, yeah. And we talked about, Artie Savia, he talked about it before as well, around our Pacifica teams can unite everyone. I thought that was pretty special, and that's why it deserved our moment of the week.
Hello, everyone. This is Keith Peters here, and you're listening to Neej and Footy.
NRL, round two. I am going to kick us off, and we mentioned in our intro, there were some upsets. The Raiders beating the Broncos, playing in New Zealand. The Warriors beating the Sea Eagles, 36-16. And I did make a note at the start of the season that I wouldn't always just talk about the Roosters. Yeah, I know they hold a close part in my heart, the red, white, and blue. But after that game,
week 10, and we're still talking about the Roosters.
I have to mention the Roosters beating the Panthers. But yes, the game of the round has to go to the red, white, and blue. The Roosters beating the four-peat champs, the Penrith Panthers, 38-32. Now, Paul Alamotti, the Panthers centre, he did score in the opening minutes. And yeah, after that try, I bet most Roosters fans were thinking, okay, we're in for a long day. But the Roosters, in a gritty win, went on to score 7 tries, and it all started with the Fijian centre, Mark Nawanganitewase, Mate, the way he performed on the weekend, really, they really utilized his size, you know, his handling skills. You mentioned off air that he loves playing basketball.
Basketball, that's where he's got hops on him, man. He can jump. But yeah, he brought that, you know, the conditioning games when you're offside touch.
Yep.
And one touch and all that. He was amazing at that. Some of the stuff that he could pull out just around the back, over the head, never died with the ball.
Well, you have to account for him because he's so big, and then next thing you know, he's got that offload. But another one was the Tongan winger, Daniel Tupou. He scored a double. Now, Daniel Tupou is now equal sixth on the all-time top NRL try scorers list with 166 tries.
Now they go left to Sandon Smith on the last. Townsend out the back, Tedesco. Lovely ball to Wanganita Wave. Got it away to Tupou. If it's not forward, it's a try. It's awarded by Todd Smith. Try to the Roosters. They're back in front. What a ball from Mark Nwanganita Wave to Daniel Tupou. And Daniel Tupou gets his second.
He stands equal sixth with the Sharks' great Andrew Edenhausen.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Alex Johnson is still second.
Oh, second.
With 195 tries on that list. I also like the look of Salesi Fuketi.
The lock. The lock off the bench, yep.
He reminds me a bit of like Spencer Leniu, the way that he carries the ball, but low to the ground, and he is fit. You know, you had Makaise Makatoa making his club debut, didn't have a club leading into the year, and which we mentioned last Friday. But then the other prop that started, Taylor Losalu. Now, it's his second NRL game, but he's also a concreter. Now, Trent Robinson said that he was waking up the next morning to go to work. So imagine...
Oh, he went to work.
He went to work the next morning.
The day after that big win.
7 a.m., he went to work. Trent Robinson mentioned. So imagine beating the Penrith Panthers, who just won the last four competitions, waking up the next morning, going to work, concreting.
Oh, and it's not even it's a 7 a.m. start, but you're getting up at 5.
On a
Saturday morning, you know what it's like to try and sleep after a game. You can't, so you're on a buzz, you're on a high, and then I don't know how recovery sessions work with the teams. Is it compulsory that you have team recovery the next day? Or
I know Robbo being a family man first, and knowing his players are humans, then he's probably letting the young fella off the hook. And okay, you go work. But yep, a huge win, and another big game on the weekend. After losing a close match to the Knights in round one, the West Tigers respond this week, beating the Parramatta Eels 32-6. Yes, the Parramatta Eels are struggling. I won't harp on it, so let's just stick with the Tigers. Now, the Tigers scoring six tries to the Eels one. Three of the six tries scored by the Tigers were scored by their Fijian winger and new recruit, Sunia Turuva.
Goes right to Galvin, plays out the back to Buller. Buller dummies, delayed pass to Samolafenu. Dummy straight past one, links up with Sunia Turuva. Free for the Groover. He's over, kicks it into the stands as well. And it's West Tigers 32, Parramatta nil.
Now with the Tigers, there were a few things that impressed me on this performance. Now, the first one was their scramble defense. The way they turned up for one another, there was about 2 minutes to go into the game. A Eels player makes a break. Guess who's chasing him down, although they're still up 32-0?
Who?
The big prop, Royce Hunt. Steaming down the sideline. He gets in front of Zach Lomax, who's a center, and makes it easier for the fullback to make the tackle because he's in that frame. But just that effort of him turning up, and Parramatta Eels ended up scoring later in that set, but there was still a defender there that just couldn't wrap the ball up. But that defensive effort, keeping the Parramatta Eels to one try, defense wins competitions, they look
getting shown in the team meeting about this is where we our attitude, our effort, this is what why we do all the hard work and everything. Do you reckon that's a telling sign that things have changed at the West Tigers?
100%. It's one of those efforts as a coach you're proud of, because he didn't have to do that. And if he didn't do it, no one recognizes it. No one's going to notice it.
And a prop doing that?
A prop out of all positions. And 2 minutes ago, game was already in the bag.
Yeah.
And he still showed that effort. The other one was Tyrrell May. He's proving to be a huge signing for coach Benji Marshall. You know, an absolute workhorse in the middle. Tyrrell had 21 carries for 176 metres. He played 73 minutes in that heat. Now, if you're in Sydney on the weekend, you know it was a hot weekend. So 73 minutes, 21 carries, 176 metres, and also on top of that made 43 tackles. So a huge boost for the Tigers, Tyrrell May, and finally their spine. When you look at Jareem Buller, the way that he's returning them kick returns, Jerome Luai and Lachlan Galvin, they are starting, they will get better as the year goes on. They understand how one another plays, build that chemistry, but even in round two, geez, they were exciting to watch. So very entertaining team. Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching how the rest of the year plays out for the Tigers. And remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. In Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters, they lost to the Sunshine Falcons last weekend, 28-6. The PNG Hunters will have a bye this weekend. And Sammy, that is all for Rugby League.
Nice work. Hopefully your tips will be better this week, my friend. And we will now head over to Rugby Union, round five of Super Rugby Pacific. Finished up over the weekend. Minor Pacifica had the bye, so they should be nice and fresh coming into this week when they take on the Chiefs, which should have been in Tonga, but it's now in Pukekohe, spewing that game's not there for this week. But the Fijian Drua, they played the Brumbies in Canberra, and they went down 38 points to 21. Someone outside centre for the Brumbies, Len Ikitau. He was solid in that game. Very strong performance. He scored three tries for the Brumbies.
Wallabies,
yeah.
Will he make Wallabies?
Yeah, he'll make Wallabies, definitely. I reckon he'll be a lock-in. He was outstanding in that game. Just really got the Brumbies on the front foot every single time, you know, with his ball carries, and was solid in defence. He really wrapped up the Drua's midfield. But for the Drua, again, they're looking for that away win. It's just still hasn't come yet since they beat Minor Pacifica back in round one in 2023, I'm pretty sure. And when I look at the way that they played, like, it was all their forwards that scored this week, T. All their forwards. No, none of their backs. It was Thanakai Vata, their number eight, their open side flanker, Murray. He scored off the back of a beautiful Yosef Omasi. He came back from injury. He was in at number 13 at outside centre, threw this flick ball out of his right hand around the defender as he was getting tackled, and Murray was just steaming onto the ball, and he scored. And their hooker Ikanevere, he scored off the back of Armstrong Ravula, little chip kick, and the hooker was there to be able to regather and score. So no back scored in this one, so it was good to see the forwards getting on the scoreboard. But the game itself, if I look at the Drua and trying to back up from that amazing win they had against the Chiefs at home. And I really feel like, I know we've spoken about the combinations a fair bit right now, but what was missing was probably their number 12, Tambua Vol. He didn't play this game. They had Samu Wandre in the 12 position, who's normally been playing 13.
Was he rested or injured?
Yeah, I think he was just rested. He's probably the only player that's played every game, started every game, Tambua Vol. And he's made that 12 position his. I feel like he's got that run pass kick option, especially when he's direct, but he can hold his feet and get that long ball away. And then in attack, he was just rock solid. He was building a nice connection there with Armstrong Ravula, like protecting his outside a lot and giving a lot of communication in defense. But with the way, I just saw a particular moment in the game and how the Brumbies' third try unfolded. The Brumbies had a line out on halfway. They just ran a simple starter play in the midfield. Len Ikitau took it to the line and gave a nice little tip ball direct, running straight. And the centers missed the tackle. Like, it was pretty easy read, but obviously there was a disconnect, which led to a half break, and then it led to a try two phases later.
But that center hasn't played that position the last three
years. No, he hasn't. He hasn't played 12. He's played 13. So, but the it ran into that dwarf channel, and people might say, "Oh, it's just one position." But in
spaces
that
spaces are different.
Yeah, spacing's different. The connection's different because you're 13. You've got the connection with your winger on the outside. So, but it's probably what happens after is what it probably hurts them more because as he misses the tackle, when he gets up to reload, he reloads close to the ruck on that outside, like and just I don't know why he reloads deep, and then the forwards that come around the ruck to defend that fold around. He ends up, Tonga Tama ends up going on the outside of the centre where you need your faster men on the outside.
On the outside, yeah.
So you know what I mean? So like that disconnect by not having those combinations, understanding that's your role, and then what happens, the Brumbies just go quick down the side, skin them down, and then they score on the left-hand side. So I just feel like, yes, I understand Glenn Jackson is giving his players a lot of game time, and they should because they've got a lot of depth. But at what point do you feel like you've got to start cementing those combinations?
Yeah, nah, I'll call it.
I'm
calling it. As a player, I didn't like it. I didn't like the rotation system. I think I did have a coach that thought that would be the best way for his team, but I started to think that maybe this is a way that he keeps everyone happy. But eventually you have to upset. Some players will be upset when you've got a squad.
Yep.
And your turn will come, but players need to build chemistry. Players need to understand how one another play, and that only comes by reps on the field together.
Yeah, exactly. In the furnace, you're right, like on field, like you can do as many reps at training, but it's not the same as the game when decisions and pressure mounts on and the games are on the line. Again, there's amazing depth there, and all those players that come in deserve their spot, but it's the combination piece on, you know, when you're not communicating, you just know, oh, I've played with this guy so many times, I know where he is. It just needs to, they need to cement their team because it's, we're over, what's that, a quarter of the competition's gone. It's a sprint, and
you don't need to rotate your players
if it's a sprint. Yeah. In other Super Rugby news, Chiefs over the Blues 32-31. The Hurricanes, they got over your beloved Highlanders T 20-18, which was a nail biter as well. And then you tipped the Crusaders, didn't you? You went the Crusaders.
Yeah,
you did. They got over the Crusaders 55-33 over the Western Force, and the Reds won the battle state versus state against the Tars, convincing win 35 to the Tars 15. And if we look at the Drua and Moana, they're now back on the bottom of the ladder. The Drua fly to Perth to play the Force. Moana host the Chiefs, which we mentioned that was supposed to be in Tonga, but now in New Zealand. That's all we have time for Super Rugby. And we'll get over to Shelley Long so we can hear all about women's footy.
The Long Story Short with Shelley Long.
Yes, our PNG Orchid and NRLW player Shelley Long joins us for her segment, The Long Story Short. Shelley, how are you? How was your weekend?
It was good, guys. It was actually great. The weather is much cooler than normal, so that was definitely enjoyable.
You get much rehab training in the last week?
I have, actually. The knees managed to settle down a little bit. The rehab has been improving. And you know what? I found myself at the gym at 5 a.m. this morning, which I wake up at 4. I felt like I needed to go back to sleep, but I got dragged there. But it still counts. I went.
Win the morning, win the day.
That's what they do say. Oh, you like that? It all rhymes. But anyway, it's all right. Let's get into a bit of footy. What have you got for us?
So, in Super W, with only two rounds remaining of the competition, teams are looking to create their best 23-woman squad ahead of the semifinals. This year, with five teams in the Super W competition, four of them will have the opportunity to try and make the grand final. So, they'll be aiming to end up in that top four. On the weekend, the Fijian Drua earned their second win of the season against a strong and very determined Brumbies women's side. The final score ended up at 21 points to 15. The Drua in this game, now, we talked about it a little bit last week, they left it quite late, which going into finals will be very interesting. They need to definitely start a little bit quicker than what they have been in the last couple of weeks, because against a strong team like the Waratahs or the Reds, they definitely make it hard to make a comeback. So that will be interesting to see if they can definitely fix that up this week.
I guess the pleasing thing for the draw in that game, they did leave it late and they were behind for most of the game. Tough conditions. Mm-hmm. It was like bucketing down with rain, but they had to find a different way to play. So it was their forwards that really stood up there, their front rowers. I think it was Marawa, Nambuli, Matarungu when they came on the field. Their scrum was dominant, and they were the players that scored the winning try as well, right at the death. So credit to their front row when they came on.
Yeah, I thought it was a great game, and I definitely thought their forward pack did well. I think in terms of how they played as well this week, they looked a little bit more composed. The style of footy was definitely something that they enjoyed playing, which I think also helped. It was a lot cleaner than we've seen in the last couple of weeks. But in saying that, the errors and the penalties definitely need to be something that they try to remove from their game. We've seen over the last couple of weeks, several players have been sent to the bin on yellow cards, which has put extra pressure on the team to perform. So a few improvements to be made the next couple of weeks, definitely ahead of finals. But in terms of the Brumbies, I thought in terms of their game, the scrums was definitely something that was outstanding for them. The Drua against the Waratahs and Reds dominated, but in that game, the Brumbies matched them, which was exciting to watch. And they were outstanding in terms of attack as well. It flowed quite well.
Probably one we should highlight actually is their number 5 for the Drua, Kaleta Yee, 17 years of age, debut, and then number 6, Nanga Sao, former Fijiana Sevens captain, 2016. She debuted at the age of 37 and number 6. So 20-year gap between the two debutants, but they were both outstanding.
Yeah, and it's so great to see that there's no age gap limit on this game.
Yeah.
like there isn't. I think anyone can do it, which is great to see. But I've spoken about her quite a bit on Nisian Footy. But Vitalina Nikore, again, sensational for the Drua, received player of the round as well for the Drua. So I'm excited to see her again. I'll be interested now to see if she does earn herself another NRLW contract after such a great season in Super W. I've talked a lot about the Fijian Drua, but it was Tambua Tuinakavandra who, for the Brumbies, was strong and powerful with her carries. The Drua definitely struggled to contain her. They needed 4 to 5 players to bring her down. She was sensational for them. And along with that, it was also Analise Sio, a proud Samoan Brumbies player. She received her cap number 112 for the Brumbies. She's just returned back from her ACL. It gives me a lot of confidence to see another strong woman, especially a Pacifica woman, return back from a serious injury like that. And she posted on Instagram actually kind of saying about how her family had a very strong tie to the Brumbies, which I guess makes it even more emotional for them to see her get that cap on the weekend.
Yeah, older brother Scotty Seal played plenty of games for the Brumbies down there, played for the Wallabies, so they have strong ties there. And it's also good to see Manua Moleka, sister of Faitala Moleka. She came off the bench in that game to join her sister on the field as well.
Oh, I love seeing these family connections that we have in the Super W. But over in Queensland, it was state versus state and mate versus mate derby on Sunday. The Waratahs travelled up to Ballymore Stadium to verse a strong Queensland Red side. The Reds, who had, mind you, several Aussie Sevens players, were favourites walking into round 3 of the Super W competition, but unfortunately lost 36 points to 14. So that was very interesting to see. I definitely think the Waratahs made a statement in the competition in that game and reminded all the teams why they won the competition last year and why they've been so successful the last couple of years. Both teams had outstanding moments, but for me, you know, I spoke about her last week. I said that she was someone that I watched in week 1 of the competition. It was Adiana Talakai. She ended up starting this week, and coming back from an ACL injury, she played 2 games off the bench, and then finally in her 3rd game back, came to start, and she was outstanding. She scored a double in that game. She definitely rolled her sleeves up and said, "All right, give me the ball. It's my turn. I'm back. I'm ready. Let's go." And she did that very well in that game.
You know, she needed to. She actually needed to, because did you see her comment before the game?
No, I didn't see it.
She said, rather be dead than red. In her post. So hey, if you're going to say those, yeah, you better back it up. So she certainly did.
But I love seeing her and Eva Kapani go at it close to the line when the Reds were about to score, and she's just gone into the clean out and absolutely moved Eva Kapani out of there, and they ended up getting the ball back, actually, the Waratahs. That was great to see. I love the fire. I love the passion. And I think that was definitely something where, you know, we talk about state versus state, mate versus mate. That was a key moment in that for me.
Shelley, you've been watching a lot of rugby, which is great to see. Now, you're watching it. Where could you see yourself on the field? What position are you playing if you were to cross over?
What position? Oh, you know what? I would love to be a forward in my dreams.
A forward out of all the places.
I love about the forwards though is I love the fact that they just keep showing up. Like sometimes in this game when there's quite a few errors happening, the forwards just keep backing it up. They keep going into the scrum. Then they say the scrum doesn't go to plan. They're back in the scrum. They're making lots of tackles. They're making lots of clean outs. I just love watching the forwards. But I think if I'm being honest about myself, probably an outside centre.
And honest question, how does it compare to NRLW?
Oh,
no, I'm just asking. Watching Super Rugby. I just want to know how it compares in her eyes compared to NRLW.
It's a good question. It's a really good question.
It is a great question. I think very different sports, obviously. But I do think the speed of the game is a lot quicker in NRLW compared to Super W. I do think, though, that the speed of the game is definitely because of the breakdowns. You know, you're not running back to get onside. It's quite slow. You can take your time in the ruck as well. At hooker, you take your time, which is a lot smarter. Whereas, you know, it's because NRLW is so fast, players have to get to the ruck to get to hooker to get the ball away.
Yep.
Whereas I think in Super W, you have the opportunity to take as much time as you need to get your line set.
Nice way to sit on the fence. then how did the Penina girls go this week?
Penina Pacifica did great. They versed the Western Forces. They went down again this week, but 29 points to 41. It's a very high-scoring game, actually. And I did think the Western Forces going into this game with such a strong side that they have would have potentially played a little bit better than what they did. You know what, I'm giving a lot of credit here to Penina Pacifica, though, because, again, such a strong team, they managed to put so many points on them, and they did it very well. I did see a video of one of their tries where they slide it through the hand so easily to get one of their tries. I think it was maybe four or five players where they slide it through the hands to get it to the outside, which is very interesting in terms of the Western Forces' defense. I don't know how they don't defend as well as what they could have in this game. But again, great rap to Penina Pacifica for being able to put on such a great performance. I will say Penina Pacifica, they versed the Waratahs this weekend, which will be a great game for them. And I think as well, I love every time that I see they've finished their game and they might not get the result they want, I do love how they get around each other and the support that they receive from all the neighbouring Pacific Islands. And I think it's such a great representation to have in this competition. They're not an official team to the Super W, but they do get to verse all the teams. And I think that is also a really great reflection of where the Super W is going.
Perfect. And Shelley, you've also got some news about the Sevens players coming into the 15-a-side game. Is that right?
Yeah, so those Aussie Seven players that have come into the Super W competition are looking to earn their spot in the Wallaroos squad ahead of the World Cup. Now, it's very interesting obviously, Sam, watching the games, you'd know that their performances compared to Aussie Sevens were a lot different. We saw on the weekend that the skill and the awareness of the game was definitely not where it needed to be for Super W, but I think that they can definitely learn a lot out of that game that they could potentially take over to the Aussie Sevens. So it'd be interesting going into this World Cup year.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Their fitness will be there, but it's two different games at the end of the day, so there's some bit of detail that they'll have to get their heads around, shifting from the shorter format to the longer format of the game.
Yeah.
Rugby league news? Any signings?
Yeah.
NRLW, yes. Let's NRLW. Go. All right.
Perfect. NRLW. Oh, look, he's up now. He's ready to go.
What do you got for us, Shelley?
So, unfortunately, like I said last week, there isn't too much happening in terms of announcements, but we did get two announcements last week, which was Proud Samoan and former Gold Coast Titans and North Queensland Cowboys utility, Jatea Faifua. She has signed to the West Tigers along with Proud Tongan and Samoan and former Parramatta Eels forward Jade Fanua.
Great news.
Thank you very much for that bit of detail, Shelley. I really appreciate it. Hopefully the rehab goes well for another week and you get running very soon. But like always, love your work and we'll check in again next Monday.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you then.
Hi, I'm Alicia Lefofago-Celia from the Australian Women's Sevens team and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Right, Sammy, we have a huge guest, not only profile but also in stature. I think you tell us you, Sammy, but he was born in New Zealand. He's a Parramatta junior. And at the age of 24, he's already played 79 NRL games for the Eels and the Tigers and made his club debut with the Storm in their huge victory against his junior club in round one. To add to that list, he's also played Origin and represented the Tor Samoa in 2023. I'd like to introduce everyone and welcome him here on Nation Footy, big Stefano Otoikamanu. Steph, thank you very much for joining us, brother.
Hey, guys. All good. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's go straight to your upbringing. Do you know the story about how your family migrated from the islands to New Zealand and Australia where you are now?
No, not really too sure. I think my mum's grandparents moved from Samoa to New Zealand, and my mum was brought up in New Zealand with her younger brother and younger sister. And I'm not sure when, but I was born in 2000, and that's when my mum and dad moved to Australia, which was not long after I was born. I think it was only like a couple months or something. So I was born in New Zealand, but I actually grew up in Australia. So I grew up in Liverpool. My first junior club was actually Liverpool Catholic Club. I played there until I was about 11, from under fives or something, because I used to play with my older brother. I never really played like my own age. I always played with my older brother because he was a year older than me. So, yeah, I played Liverpool Catholic Club until under 11s, and then I moved to Parramatta where I played all the rest of my juniors until I started playing Harold Mass for Parramatta and just kind of came up through the ranks there.
Yeah, plenty of stars have come out of that Cabramatta Two Blues Club, that's for sure. You've Samoan, mum and dad's Tongan, is that correct?
Yeah, my mum's Samoan and dad's Tongan.
Okay, do you know what villages your mum's from and your dad's from in Tonga, mum in Samoa?
I forgot where my mum's from, but I know where my dad's from. My dad's from Vava'u in Tonga.
Oh, beautiful spot.
Hopefully one day I get to represent Tonga as well, so.
We hope so as well, bro. We'll get into that decision a bit later. But
as long as it's in rugby league and not union, yes.
Fair enough. But are you closer to one side than the other?
Yeah, I'm definitely closer to my mum's side. So it's a bit – yeah, I play for Samoa. So, yeah, I'm close to my mum's side. I grew up around my mum's brother's kids and my mum's sister's kids, which they're a fair bit younger than me, but I was always around my mum's family a fair bit.
And what about your family? Do you have a big family? Are there many siblings?
Yeah, so I have one older brother who I mentioned earlier. He's a year older than me, so he's 25. I have a younger brother. He's 2 years younger than me. He's 23. And then I have my older sister. She's 27. So there's four of us. It's not too big, but it's not small as well.
And what was it like with you growing up with your family out in this big Samoan community out in Liverpool? What was that like around church, schooling, upbringing?
Yeah, so I grew up as a Catholic. I didn't go to church a whole lot, but every time my nan would come to Australia, she'd drag us to church. So she was big on going to church every Sunday. And I don't really speak Samoan. I'm mainly just English, but my mum speaks a little bit of Samoan and understands it. But my grandparents are fluent Samoan, so whenever they try to tell me anything in Samoan, I don't understand. So it's a bit awkward. But I grew up in Liverpool, where there's a lot of Pacific Islander community, and it was pretty cool growing up, like having a lot of Pacific Islanders around, and especially at my club, like both of the clubs I played for, especially Capramatta. You guys would know there's a whole heap of good rugby league players that come out of there, and a whole heap of them are Pacific Islanders also. It's pretty cool.
Were you always one of the bigger boys in your rugby league teams?
I was always probably one of the biggest, like, coming through. So I was, a bit of a bully. But,
You played up in age group, and you were the bully. So you played up, and you're still the bully.
I was pretty big for my age, and then I went up in age. I was still big, so it was pretty good growing up for me. Like, I wasn't too small, so I wasn't really scared of anyone.
And at what age did you realize, okay, this is something that I want to do for a living, and the dream of playing the NRL?
I reckon the dream of playing in the NRL, I kind of had. Probably when I was early into my teens, when I started going to high school, and I went to Westfield Sports, so that's a selective high for like sports and that, and I went there for rugby league. So a lot of players, like NRL players, have come out of that school too. So that's probably when I seen it's probably a good path for me, and it's pretty achievable if I went through there. And then I eventually got to Harold Matts, where stuff probably starts to get a bit serious. Yeah, I feel like when I hit Harold Matts, that's when I felt like this was actually a real thing for me. And when you kind of go from Harold Matts to SG and keep transitioning up, that's when you're getting one step closer to playing NRL. Mm-hmm.
With your Harold Matts and SG, you had some challenges there around a lot of injuries. So what was it like missing out on some of that junior footy and that junior rep footy, and thinking that the dream of becoming where you wanted to go might have not happened because of those injuries?
Yeah, so I played Harold Matts like a year up with my older brother. Like, I got selected in the team, but I got injured in our first trial, which was like the year before the Harold Matts year anyway. Like, I think it was like in December or something. So I broke my leg, and then I was out that first year. And like, I didn't think much of it because I had a year after anyway, so I wasn't too worried about it. But then when my year for Harold Matts came around, I only played like one game. And then my second game, I dislocated my shoulder. So I was out for like that whole year. And then the year after, I came back and played SG ball a year up. And then I dislocated my shoulder again. So it was like it was pretty hard, like 3 years without footy. And like, I feel like those are pretty big years for you to develop as a player, like Harold Matts, and then SG ball. So I missed that a fair bit. But when I came back the year after, I felt like I was pretty good. Like, I think I was 18 and I played SG. Then I played 20s and I played cup at the end of the year. So, like, it was pretty good. And then the year after, I started training NRL. So I kind of progressed pretty fast, but it was a pretty good journey. I had to learn a lot about myself, getting injured a fair bit. Like, not just missing out on Harold Matts and SG, but I felt like I missed out on, like, all of my school footy. Like, I feel like if you know GIO Cup, like, that's a massive thing to play in. And I feel like I missed out a fair bit not playing that, because it's pretty cool to not just play GIO, but to try and represent Australian schoolboys as well. Like, I don't really get a chance to do that. So
at that age group, it feels like it's the be all and end all. If you don't make Matts, ball, play GIO Cup, and play on TV, like, it can feel like, oh man, it's all over. But it's cool that to hear that you bounce back from it. You've mentioned your older brother a couple of times. He suffered a pretty tragic injury around his break in his neck, and he's all good now. Yeah, like, in terms of playing,
all good now.
But at the time, what was that like for yourself? You're playing with him. You wanted to be on that journey with him. What was that like for you when you found out the news, and for your family as well?
It was pretty tough. It was heaps tougher for him than me, but just for myself and my point of view, like, growing up with him, playing with him all through my junior footy, and like, all pretty much since I was five. One day, the doctor telling him that he probably shouldn't play anymore, and like it wasn't just my dream to play NRL, it was his dream too. So it was probably a big wake up call for myself, just, you know, about the game and how quickly, you know, the game can get taken away from you. And it was pretty tough that year when he got told that, like, for him and for our family, I feel like. And just for me, it was a pretty big motivational thing for me, just to, you know, be grateful for what I have, because, you know, a lot of people dream to be in the NRL, but, you know, some dreams get cut short and some people don't make it. So it was just, yeah, probably a big motivational thing for me.
And is that something that you carry, you know, going into every game, knowing that, you know, you've had that experience? And then you mentioned, you know, being grateful and the gratitude of, you know, stepping onto the field and your body being in a prime physique. So is that something that you carry with that mentality of like, okay, I'm out there representing my family, my brother, but also, you know, this game isn't forever. This game could end at any time for anyone and for everyone. Is that something that you carry through each game?
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, for myself personally, I feel like that was a big thing for me, especially when, like, it had just happened, just thinking about, you know, footy and how fast it's gone. Like, I feel like just yesterday I just started training first grade and it's been like 7 years now. So I feel like the end is a bit far away, but it's not too far away at the same time. So I'm just grateful for the job I have, because it's pretty cool to, you know, wake up every day and do something you love. Not everyone gets to do that. And I'm pretty grateful for this whole thing. So
yeah, it's cool. Which one of your brothers played Ron Massey? I was just saying to Samuel, I'm pretty sure I was playing one of his brothers a couple of years ago for Brothers, and you came and watched him. And I remember when I turned up, they were like, "Oi, Toy, come on, whose brother's playing?" I'm like, "Oh, here we go, another."
Is that him? Is that
yeah,
the older brother?
Yeah, that's my older brother. Yeah,
bro, and he killed it too. Did he? Like, bro, yeah. Someone try and tackle this bloke, man.
And just while we're on that, he did write on one of his posts that he's 1/16th cookie. So, is there Cook Island blood in you as well, or is that just one of those Islander ones where it's like, "Hey, guys, jump on the field"?
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones. Like, I think one of the boys were playing for Cook Islands, and they probably need a player. So. Wanted to jump in and he jumped on.
You know what they've done? They took the Tonga out of Rarotonga. They just added
that bit. Because I was going to say, bro, every time T finds out there's a Cook Island, like he's got Cook Island blood, one of the players, hey, chances of playing for the Cooks. He's playing for Tonga before he plays for Cooks, that's for sure. Your journey into first grade, man, it was surrounded by a lot of media and all of that. Like, and I feel like you handled it quite well. Like, I guess with other players, maybe they haven't handled the pressure as much. But how did you handle the pressure of that sort of different world that sort of circles around you, around media, people talking about you that you don't even know who they are, but all of a sudden they have an opinion on you? Like, how did you deal with that? And how did your family deal with it as well?
Yeah, I feel like around the media, like last year was probably my biggest year around the media, like just them talking about my future and, you know, coming to this club, like just before I signed anything, like I feel like that's all I ever looked at when I opened my phone. So for myself, I reckon it was just enjoying being at training and enjoying being around all the people and enjoying being at home and trying not to focus too much on, you know, the outside noise, because it does get to you. And I feel like it did get to me a little bit last year. Like, I was playing really good at the start of the year, then I kind of slumped a bit, and then I was going good again. I was kind of up, really up and down. But coming to this club, I feel like they've told me that you got to really trust yourself in, you know, the preparation you do during the week, because, you know, all these media people, they're not out there on the field doing the work. You know, they're only really just saying their opinion, which, you know, it doesn't really matter outside of the 17 people and the coaches that, you know, are actually looking at the game. So that's probably a big one for me this year, is just to, you know, focus on myself and focus on the work I'm putting in, and trust that it's going to work. And I know my teammates are going to trust me and I'll trust them. So that's the most important thing for me.
Yeah, I love hearing you say those words.
Yeah. We'll move over to you, Samoa. Playing for Samoa. The decision to play for Samoa, was Tonga ever a chance in that one? Or was it purely, Mum, I'm representing you?
I think Tonga actually asked me to play for him last year, but I felt like it was a pretty hard year, and I had to kind of look at myself and have a good off season so that I could come in the right headspace. So, but when I went to go play for Samoa, they reached out. Benny Gardner, the coach, who was actually a coach at the Tigers before he became the coach for Samoa. So I felt like it was an easy decision for myself just to, you know, go play international footy, represent my mum. She's done a lot for me growing up, and she's pretty much done everything for me before I got to the NRL. So, yeah, I felt like it was a pretty easy decision, and I was pretty happy and excited to play for Samoa at the time, even though after playing for Samoa, we didn't probably play the best. But I think just walking out on that field in that jersey with all those boys that I played with just kind of feels different.
And in the same year, you know, you also wore another blue jersey, the New South Wales Origin jersey. How does where did that sit in comparison to the Samoan game?
I feel like the blue jersey, New South Wales, it was a pretty big. I was pretty nervous before going out there, like on the field, just because it's like the top of our game. I feel like yep. playing Origin. I feel like is that's when you know you're probably at the top, and you got to go there and you got to be ready to play. I feel like I was ready to play, but when I got out in the field, I felt like I'd probably just kind of fade away from the game a little bit. And you know, in Origin, it's just 100 miles an hour. If you don't come on the field and change the energy of the game, then you're not really doing much. So, that was probably a bit hard, like going on the field. But the atmosphere there was mad. Like, I think it was in Queensland. So it was just like you go on the field, you can't hear anyone pretty much unless you're screaming at them. And that was probably the best thing about the Origin game, is just the atmosphere. Like even the Samoa game, I think when we played New Zealand, you could have, like, just looking out on the field, there were way more blue jerseys and blue flags than the New Zealand flag. So like, even that, just running out there was just a different feeling of those people supporting us, our people supporting us. And, you know, win, lose or draw, they're going to be there for you. So. Mm. That was probably a mad thing for me too.
What was it like, you know, putting on that blue jersey, as in the Samoan jersey in the dressing sheds, and just, you know, that feeling that you get when you're putting it on before you run out onto the field to sing the anthem and getting ready for the Civitale? Yeah, what was running through your head? Who were you thinking about?
Yeah, probably just thinking about me growing up. Like, I never thought I'd play for Samoa or Tonga or Australia. Like, those are still jerseys I want to play for, but... I never thought I played for Samoa growing up, but probably putting on the jersey, I just thought about my mum and her family and what my mum sacrificed for me to get to where I am today. So going out there was a pretty crazy feeling.
And then now you're at the Storm. Yeah, you are looking very fit. I've even noticed you're
it's the jawline, isn't it? It's the jawline.
Like, have a go at this. Oh, I like it. But yeah, what are some of what's probably the biggest lessons you've learned so far being in the Storm's camp?
Probably the first thing I learned about this place is that I feel like everyone's pretty selfless. Like, everyone wants the best out of each other and they just want the best from you. So that's from players to staff. Like, all the staff here are on their phone 24/7 trying to help you, or, you know, reaching out to you to see what they can do for you to make you better. And your players, they're pretty welcoming when I first came here. Everyone goes about their job. Everyone just wants to get better every day. So that was probably one thing I looked at when I first came here, is everyone wants to be the best. So that's probably why they're at the top, and a big reason why I came here.
What about around advice you'd give to a young otokomanu out there, up and coming? There's contract money out there that could be worth more at one club, but now being at Melbourne, what would your advice be around choosing a team?
Yeah, I feel like that's a hard one. Like, everyone's got a different kind of journey, you know. Like, I feel like for myself, leaving Parramatta was just taking the best opportunity for myself. A good deal came up for me at the Tigers, and even though the Tigers weren't going well, it was a good opportunity for myself just to get a bit of game time. Like, and I feel like that was probably the best thing that you can do as a young guy. You need to play games for teams to see you, and you need to play games for you to get better. Like, you can't just be comfortable playing New South Wales Cup. Not that New South Wales Cup isn't good or anything, but I feel like if you know you can take it to the next level and be playing consistent first grade, then you should go take that opportunity somewhere else. Yeah, that's what I felt like. That was the best thing for me, and that's how I've gotten here today. So
I love that advice. Yeah, nice. And even you understanding the value in yourself and, you know, wanting to push yourself and put yourself in them uncomfortable situations, but also understanding the opportunity that's in front of you. It's great advice.
You're not wrong.
Last one from me. We've got World Cup next year.
here he goes. This is a tough one. Don't create a headline for him, mate.
You got a decision to make. You want to come play for the Cook Islands?
1/16th, he reckons.
Nah. Yeah, if you had to, where's your heart lie in your representing your family?
I don't know right now.
No comment.
Too early to say. Too early to say.
I feel like it's a hard decision to make right now, but at the time when it comes up, I'll know. So.
Oh, bro, you keep playing the way that you're playing from last week. Man, I wouldn't be surprised if Australia start come knocking at your door as well. So on behalf of everyone here on Nesian Footy, man, it's been an absolute honour to have you here. And, yeah, we're quite privileged and blessed to have your presence here on Nesian Footy. Love seeing you do your work. Love seeing you represent your family and, the stuff that you're doing for the Storm. Yeah, I wish you all the best this year.
Much love, and I'm sure everyone around that's listening in the Pacific will get a lot out of it.
Sweet. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
My name's Christian Peel, and you're listening to Nesian Footy.
Give me three answers for this one.
Yes, this is how we wrap
up. I like
out.
Watching you move your hips when the song comes on too.
Hey, let me talk.
Sorry, bro. You caught my eye doing that.
Anyways, as I was saying, this is how we like to wrap up our Monday Nesian Footy show. And it is pretty much a game of categories where someone will ask the other host, give me something. And
could be footy, could be something else, who knows? Just give me three.
You'll get it.
You'll get it.
Anyways, we keep a score. At the end of the year, the loser has to shout the winner and their partners a spa day.
Just a good
the
day.
Works,
the works.
Dinner.
Yeah.
All of it. It's 9-9 at the moment, so we're even.
Stevens.
Gave
perfect.
You an easy question last week, Sammy.
All right. Well, it's my turn. This one. You'll like this one.
A lot of thought has gone into this one.
Here we go. I want you to give me three Pacific father-son or father-daughter combinations that have played professionally, rugby league or rugby union. Okay, and I'm going to give you a hint here because I know which one you're going to get. You can only choose one sibling to pair with the father. Okay, so if they've got more than one child playing in the NRL, NRLW, you can't use all of them.
Got you. So Adrian Lamb, Lachlan Lamb.
Perfect, there's one.
Give me some time. I reckon I'll narrow this down. Oh, yeah, Kevin Edel, K.O. Edel.
Oh, bang, there's two.
Just trying to think of those dads that
actually
have
a lot more than I thought.
That have presented jerseys to their sons.
Or daughters.
That's the clue there.
I didn't even have K.O. Edel. I didn't even have him on there, but I'm glad you brought him up. Because now we've covered PNG, Cook Islands.
Is there any Tongans?
Don't know.
Yeah, I got it.
Come on, hurry up.
The multiple siblings. The Hopoate family.
The Hopoate family, yes. Let's choose one for me.
With John Hopoate, and we'll go with Pani.
Pani Hopoate, perfect. There you go. Well, you could have also gone Wallace Setiti and Semo Setiti, Tommy Talau, Willie Talau, Tegan Dimmick, Jim Dimmick,
ooh,
Caleb Clark, Aroni Clark,
ooh,
and the list. Oh, Manoa Thompson, Jared Haynes. So there, the list goes on. Well done, T, but that is our time up for today for Nesian Footy Monday. Make sure you tell your mates about Nesian Footy. Find it wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Pacific website. See you on Friday.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.